Hi, I'm Jacqueline Kinser, and for the past 5 years, I've been helping families all around the globe to overcome their breastfeeding challenges. And this is the first non-clinical breastfeeding podcast that shows you how to rock breastfeeding and master motherhood through practical tips, mindset shifts, and honest conversation to create a confident and empowering breastfeeding journey. This is the Breastfeeding Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Breastfeeding Talk Podcast. I am so excited today to bring another awesome guest to you. Her name is Megan Paugh, and she is the founder and CEO of Amphiba Baby. And if you don't know what that is, it's a really cool company. And one of the things that she makes and sells is a baby carrier. So we are going to be talking about baby wearing today. And I love these conversations because baby wearing is one of those things that I find a lot of our clients, a lot of our members, followers on social media will have lots of questions about. And this day and age, there's so much choice in everything. And it can be overwhelming, right? Like even from what social media accounts do you follow? What bottles do you buy? What diapers do you buy? And then there's baby carriers. So even once you've chosen one, then it's how to use it correctly. And I think that's one of those things that tends to really be missing. And so people tend to not use them. Maybe you get them as a gift for a baby shower. Maybe you work hard to find one that you think you're going to love. And if you don't know how to use it properly, it can be more of a frustration and something that you feel like, gosh, my wallet's a little bit lighter now and I don't know why I got this. So Megan is going to talk to us today about some awesome just tips about baby wearing and breastfeeding and nursing, which I think is so important. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty of it all. So I'm excited to have you here, Megan. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I would just love for you to just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Jacqueline. So first and foremost, really, I'm a mom. I have 4 kids. And after the birth of my first baby, that's really what started me on a career path of being a nurse and a lactation consultant and the owner of Amphiba Baby. So I had a really hard time breastfeeding my baby. He was difficult to soothe. Every evening, this poor kid would just cry for hours. So naturally, I gravitated straight to baby carriers. And, I just collected as many as I could at the time. And that started my love for baby carriers. It also started my interest in lactation because I was just having such a difficult time and I did not want other moms to have to go through what I was going through. It took me a while to end up becoming a lactation consultant because I kept having kids and I had to go to nursing school. So I finally did take the exam after the birth of my 4th baby. So at that point, like I had just been breastfeeding for 10 years straight and really had a lot of good experience under my belt. And Amphiba Baby got started after the birth of my 2nd baby. And that happened just because, when she was born 2 years after my first, I had all the carriers lined up. But I started to find it inconvenient to change the carriers, like every time she would grow out of a stage, right? So she went from newborn to 3 months old, getting more back strength and tone and holding her head up. To 6 months, we were able to transition to a soft structure. And then I kind of came into a new issue during the summertime when I wanted to be able to get into the water with her. And what we had at the time was this mesh wrap. And it was just a challenge for me with a mom with 2 under 2 to manage this mesh wrap, hold my baby, chase the toddler. It's just a lot happening. And, I thought then, I was like, this isn't working. I need to just design my own. And I didn't sew. So I had to get my mom to help me with this. And I realized pretty quickly, though, when she made this thing for me that it wasn't right and it was going to take time to develop what I had in my head, like this perfect carrier. So it ended up actually taking me 8 years and Amphiba Baby launched in May. And, you know, it's been really exciting and it's a really wild ride because I have a medical background and not a business background, but I'm really excited to share it with people.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. I love that your mom helped you. It's like, I mean, not the same, but, you know, wasn't it Beyonce's mom started out making her costumes or something?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I know. And yeah, like, I just love that you, you know, have so much experience as a mom and you really had all of this time, all of these children to try these different things out and see what wasn't working, see what was working, because that's so important, right? I mean, I feel like that's a process that every mom goes through, right? You register for all these products. You think, oh, this is the best. I've read all of the reviews. It's recommended by this magazine, and then you use it on your baby and you're like, oh, maybe that one is not the best.
Yeah, exactly. Baby wearing is really personal for a lot of different reasons, you know, because it depends on what you want out of it. You know, like, are you the mom that's just gonna, you like it to be hands-free when you're out, maybe going for a hike? Or do you not get into baby wearing until you're having your second or third baby and you find that you need to be hands-free? Or is like, are you really into it? You know, like, you want a collection, you're baby wearing all day long from sun up to sundown. So all of those things kind of will determine what you gravitate towards. But I kind of found that I married my two passions, which is breastfeeding and baby wearing. And once I became a lactation consultant, I was able to help other moms do those two things together. I did really find that there are certain carriers that are easier to nurse in, especially if like you're new to everything, than others.
Yeah, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, because I think that sometimes people end up thinking, you know, whatever they got is like, you know, something they can use right off the bat. And then they find out, oh, my baby doesn't weigh enough, or there's no head support, or like, how do we go through these different stages of infancy and postpartum, right? Because your body is very different right after you've given birth. You still look and feel somewhat pregnant, right? Versus maybe, you know, 3 months postpartum where, you know, you don't have that. So like, let's just chat about that, because I found that a huge learning curve for me when I first had a baby. I was like, yeah, I definitely want a baby carrier. And then the one I had, I was like, oh, I can't use that right now. So what do I get for my newborn?
Yeah, 100%. So first, I kind of want to start with like, nursing in a carrier can be accomplished in pretty much any carrier. But like you said, there's going to be some that are easier than others based on their design styles. So with one thing that is, you want a panel. So that's the back portion of the carrier, to not be too high that it limits the baby's range of motion. So when a baby latches onto the breast, they do need to lean back a little bit to get that latch. Their head needs to lean back. And if the panel is covering their head or just up too high, that makes it more difficult and it's harder to adjust. I also found that it's easier to have a carrier that has a waistband, because when you're putting a baby in a carrier, the correct position is if they're high enough that you can look down and kiss the top of their head, but your breasts aren't that high. So you need to have this waistband that, or it's easier. Let's say you don't have to have it, but it's easier to have a waistband that you can loosen the waistband, drop the baby down on your hips, rotate them to get to the breast that you want to nurse on.
Oh, that's such a good point. I cannot tell you how many times I was pulling the underside of my boob up to try to get it to my baby's mouth. Like, what the heck is going on? That doesn't seem normal, you know? And it took me a little while to figure out, oh, okay. You know, it really had to, I was using like a ring sling. So it didn't have that waistband that you're talking about. But then other carriers that did, it was so much easier. So I love that. And just like you mentioned, because you are a lactation consultant, you understand this too. If you're putting pressure or there's something against the back of your baby's head, you know, in newborn phase, they're generally going to have this sort of, you know, jerking back. Like, it's going to be very difficult to try to latch your baby. So if you have something that's behind there and it's not in the right spot, it's definitely going to make it harder to latch them while you're baby wearing.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point because, you know, a lot of moms may think that like their size matters, like they can't, because they're a certain size, that they may not have an easy time nursing in a carrier. But the cool thing is like you can, you know, it's just little tricks or little tips the right word. So for a mom that has, you know, she's a larger size, you know, and perhaps, you know, the weight of her breast may pull out of baby's mouth, she can still, even in the carrier, put a washcloth up under her breast or any kind of like cloth to prop it up. She would also want to loosen the carrier on the side that she's nursing on a little bit more than a mom that's maybe not as large. So that also, like size, they can, it doesn't matter. You can still nurse in the carrier, but tips are going to be helpful, things like that.
So true. I've also found for even if it's, you know, just body size or breast size, when you do have larger breasts, that having a nursing bra that when you fold it down, so you unclip it and you fold it down, you can actually roll that and put that under the breast as well. And so for those reasons, I'm a big fan of the nursing bras that have padding because one, they're absorbent, but two, it gives you a little extra lift and support there. So it's kind of like built in. Oh my gosh, you should design a nursing bra like that just like automatically supports the breast because nice. I mean, maybe your mom can, cause she is the sewer.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. But yes, any size, right? I mean, I think that's what people miss is they sometimes make this assumption, and I understand there's a lot of internalized feelings when you are a larger size, or maybe you weren't, but now postpartum you are. And so, you know, you're just not feeling your way around your body as well as you might have. So we don't want anyone to be scared away from baby wearing because it's really valuable.
Yeah. You know, that was a great tip with a nursing bra. I also think that like when it comes to marrying the two, like when you're a new mom and you're learning to breastfeed and you're also new to baby wearing, it can seem overwhelming because there's so many options and a lot to learn. So I have found that when I'm with a mom, that keeping it as simple as possible is going to make her the most successful, and even just will, you know, help encourage her to try it from the beginning. So having, you know, I don't always push her to necessarily start off with a soft structure. She can use whatever she's been baby wearing at home with and what she's already comfortable in. But also moms that are struggling with nursing, having the baby in a carrier skin to skin and just giving that baby the frequent access to the breast is going to be helpful. You know, that even helps like bring in mom's milk supply, and it helps, you know, encourage mom to get familiar with baby's cues. It helps decrease baby's crying, and all those things actually give her such a boost in confidence. So that she feels like I've got this thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said about baby's cues too, because they're right there, and you'll notice any small shift in movement or a change in their breathing. You'll notice when they're rousing from sleep and if they go back to sleep or not, and what works and what doesn't. You know, does movement help? Does being quiet help? Does noise help? Like, you'll start to learn all of those things just automatically. It's like, you know, through osmosis, it just sort of happens.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I guess for, you know, just this piece of nursing in the carrier, for someone who's never done it before, what would you recommend for them to try to just get started? You know, maybe it matters, you know, what type of carrier they have, maybe it doesn't. But I think there's this, you know, moms are like, I would love to do that. I just don't even know how. So, you know, they really don't know where to begin.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. So I'm first going to ask the mom if she's ever baby worn, like if she's worn her baby, if she's got a carrier at home. So I would start off with something that she's already familiar with. If she has not, if she has never touched a carrier, then I do tend to gravitate to soft structured carriers because they are so easy to adjust. It's just a simple buckle at the waist, buckle at the chest strap. And then you can tighten it or loosen it as you need to get baby situated to nurse. That tends to be the easiest thing. And that is one of the things that, you know, of course, like I thought of when I was designing the Neptune baby carrier, because I was always nursing my babies. It's just, you know, around the clock, you know, my babies, it was really 10 years straight. So like I would nurse through pregnancies. I tandem nursed, and I just needed something that was easy. So that's what I found and experienced, was those soft structured carriers were easiest to nurse in. I personally also like soft structured carriers that have an attached hood, because, you know, you certainly do not need to cover up when you're nursing in public. But for a mom that will be more inclined to do so because she has some slight privacy, if it makes her feel more comfortable, then the hood can be used as a privacy barrier. So that was something that I took into consideration as well when designing the Neptune, was having like a hood that, you know, I could cover what I was doing. Like, you really, once you have the baby in the carrier, the hood up, nobody knows if you're nursing in that carrier or not. So I find that to be really helpful as well.
Oh, that is so true. You know, that element of privacy. And, you know, I also think about, I live in a very sunny, warm climate. So one of the things I noticed is, you know, I'd be outdoors maybe with one of my babies, and I'd be wearing, you know, them and nursing, and just, you know, I couldn't get in the latch or what have you. And, you know, for them, the angle of the sun was different than for me. And I would go, oh, the sun's in their eyes. So even just that little, you know, cover right there would be great for those sorts of instances, or when it's cold out, right? So if you're going to be nursing the carrier, now, you know, your upper breast is exposed. If it's cold out, putting that hood up can help insulate things and keep you warmer, which is really nice. So yeah, I think there's all sorts of, if it's raining, if it's snowing, you know, you could just, if you're outdoors, I think there's so many great use cases for it. But also I found too, where, you know, those hoods are really helpful for those babies that are, you know, maybe going to fall asleep and they're not going to have that head control. And it gives you a little peace of mind and security where you can like truly be hands-free and not have to hold their head all the time. So you guys, the hoods are the best. I love the hoods. I really do.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, contact naps are fantastic. You know, you're going to get a baby sleeping longer. You certainly don't like always have to do a contact nap, but it's nice when you're out and about, or even if you're just at home. And, you know, I've had moms that work from home, I've been one of them, that will need, you know, just to have that contact nap so baby will sleep that extra 20 minutes so you can get a little bit more work done, you know?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's so valuable, you know. I've always, I don't know, I guess I didn't really, you know, look into any baby sleep stuff when I had my first. He was a terrible sleeper, and he's better now. He still has a hard time sleeping, though. It's just his nature. I don't think there's anything I could have done. You know, we've had this conversation with the pediatrician, and he's 10. So like, it is what it is. But my husband's also a terrible sleeper. I'm a great sleeper. So I could not relate. But for me, contact naps were everything, because otherwise he wasn't going to nap more than 20 or 40 minutes. And that's not good for him. It's not good for me. But I could put him in the carrier and I could go and live life. I could go on a walk with a friend. I could go to the grocery store and he could nap. Like, it didn't prevent me from doing all those things, you know? So I think those are really valuable things. And like you're saying, it's not like, you know, you have to do it all the time, right? But you can, you know, get some more sleep for your baby. Maybe you can get something done to work or what have you. And oh my goodness, it's so great once you get used to it.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting too, is that I think sometimes, especially as a new mom, like things can be going on with baby that maybe you're, and let me just backtrack and say, you're absolutely right. Some kids, like, that's just them. Like, they are not great sleep, like what we would say is a great sleeper. Like, you know, you say your husband really isn't. Like, my husband works nights, like, has always. He's a night owl. So, like, he does not sleep much at all. And we also had a son that just, who needs sleep? But when you're a new mom, you do. So with that, absolutely. Some babies are just, that's just not them. They're just not going to lay down and sleep these nice long naps. But there also can be other things going on. So sometimes, you know, we don't recognize right away as a new mom if our baby is maybe struggling with reflux, like silent reflux. And what I also like about baby wearing is because let's say you don't even nurse, but let's just, if baby eats and they have reflux, like, the recommendation is that they need to remain upright after they've eaten. So being able to keep them in a carrier allows them to be upright. And then the added benefit of that is that while you are moving around, your body is actually putting gentle pressure on their stomach, which actually helps promote digestion. So you've got a couple of great things going on, right? So they're upright, which helps them from preventing spitting up. The movement is helping their digestion, and the contact with your body is helping keeping them calmer. So lower cortisol levels, so that you've got just this, like, more physically relaxed baby, calmer baby, so that, you know, maybe if that's something that has been causing your child to be more anxious seeming, now you're able to address those issues.
Wow, that is huge. I never even thought of that. And that is an excellent reason to baby wear. And reflux is fairly common, and it could be just, you know, temporary. Maybe you just have one of those refluxy babies, and oh my goodness, you know, one thing you mentioned too is, you know, obviously, you know, you can nurse in the carrier, but you can bottle feed in the carrier too. So I'd love to hear your tips on that.
Yeah. So the way that I practice, and I do this in a lot of, like, any kind of capacity where I'm supporting other moms, because you're going to get, as a new mom, so much advice, right? And of course, there are going to be, this is what is research-based and, you know, medically recommended. But all the other noise, you know, you've got to kind of filter through what works for you. So if, you know, a mom has just decided that nursing is not working out for her, that can be okay. That's fine. You know, you can breastfeed and pump, you could do, you know, combo feeding, whatever, but you can certainly bottle feed in your carrier. So, one thing that I like about bottle feeding in a carrier is that it naturally, kind of sets you up to do paced bottle feeding, which is, I'm not sure if, you know, you've talked with your readers about, but, like, you kind of want to hold the bottle horizontal so that the baby's just not chugging it, right? They're doing a slower feed. So this also helps with babies that have reflux to slow that feed down. You wouldn't want to be holding the bottle, like, upright, like you're chugging a bottle of water. So again, you're holding it horizontal. You can do it right above where the panel should be, right underneath of their ear, right? So you have that space, and it's going to be horizontal to the panel, if that makes sense. And they can do a paced bottle feed that way. And then they're upright. So again, it's just benefiting those babies that need some help with digestion.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I am, like, the biggest fan and proponent of paced bottle feeding. So babies, you know, I try to tell parents this, like, your baby should never be laying on their back and eating. There is no case where I would say that that is safe or beneficial for a baby. And why is that? Well, we don't lay on our backs and drink or eat. So that's just not how the human digestive system works. Exactly. And babies are, yeah. Babies are no different, right? So I always love to, parents will go, well, yeah, my baby spits up a lot, but that's normal, right? And I'm like, well, I mean, do you spit up a lot? Like, you know, babies will have some spit up when there's, you know, positional things and stuff happens. But like, in general, if they're doing it after every meal, like, if that happened to you, you would go to your doctor. So those little things, right? And so, yeah, but some of the stuff, like, I find like reflux can be position induced. So if you are feeding your baby laying on their back, like you see in every TV show and movie that you've ever seen with a baby being fed, then yeah, it's more likely that they're going to spit up because of the way the swallowing and all of that is happening. So feeding in a carrier, like, automatically even can reduce that possibility of reflux. So how do you, you know, in terms of the bottle feeding though, so if the baby is in the carrier and they're sort of, you know, tummy to tummy with you, now how do you get them to bottle feed? Like, do you need to change the straps of the carrier like you would if you were nursing? Because I think a lot of parents struggle with, how do I get the bottle between me and the baby? Or I don't want them to crane their neck too far.
Got it. That's a great question. So you do have options. Depending on baby's age, you can slide them to either hip for a hip carry. And then that frees up their face, right? So then again, I would still make sure that you're doing paced bottle feeding, holding the bottle horizontal. So that's one option. Another option is to loosen the shoulder strap. So again, when I talk about shoulder straps and loosening it like that, I'm referring to like a soft structure carrier. So you could loosen the shoulder strap on one side. You are still going to be supporting baby's back with your other arm. And they're, again, still secure in the carrier. And that just gives them, by loosening that shoulder strap, it gives them that more freedom of motion, that range of motion to kind of lean back, turn their head to the side. And you are, as the parent, going to be holding the bottle in closer to your body so that they can, baby can latch onto it. But you don't have to worry as much about dropping them down on your hips like you would if you were nursing. So that is going to be one difference.
Oh, yeah. And a hip carry, that's such a great reminder, too, that that's an option. And I've actually seen that work out fairly well for nursing, too, where moms who might have more separation of the breast tissue from the chest wall, aka saggy boobs, which are great for nursing, by the way. You know, if you have not appreciated your saggy boobs previously in life, when you become a breastfeeding mom, there is some benefit there. Gotta tell you, having that flexibility is kind of nice. And you could totally, if you're nursing on the right boob, you could kind of do a hip carry, right? And just, yeah. It works. It does
absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the more kids you have, the easier that's going to be, for sure.
Right. Also, just because we said this, I do want to clarify a little piece of information out there misinformation out there for our listeners. I get it. It's funny. Let's make jokes and you know, all of that, right? But like, breastfeeding does not make your boobs saggy, okay? You know what does? Pregnancy. Pregnancy is when your breasts grow and stretch and develop and all of that skin and tissue changes. Breastfeeding did not do that. Whether or not you decide to breastfeed after giving birth, all the stuff for lactation is there and you're actively having to turn it off. So I just wanted to clarify that for folks. Also, if you didn't know this, when you wean, your breasts go through this process of involution where the fat and the glandular tissue has to remodel and it moves around in the breast. So where glandular tissue took up space because it's making and holding milk, that goes away and your fat tissue over several months moves back into place. So basically you're not doomed and you do not need a boob job just because you breastfed, but pregnancy might have caused some issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, absolutely. Because when you're pregnant, that's when your body produces the relaxin, the hormone relaxin, and that yes. is what helps loosen all the good stuff there. So it's getting you prepared for birth, which it should.
Right. Loosen the hips and the breasts.
That's right. That's right. And I can attest to another thing that you said as a mom that has just recently weaned her last child a few months back, the involution. I was a much nicer, bustier size, and now I am back to my smaller cupped bras. So they do, involute and are, I guess I don't want to say go back to exactly where they were, but
they're not, I know some moms miss that, right? They're like, oh man, I wish I still had the fullness of when I was lactating. Other moms do not like having bigger breasts.
Yes,
so,
right. We're all
we can't win.
Too true. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Too true.
Yes. I know you have said too, you've tandem nursed through pregnancy.
Yes.
Did you baby wear through pregnancy? And if so, what was that like?
I absolutely did. Yeah, I did all those things. So baby wearing when I was pregnant, it's very much, for me, my comfort level was very much the same position wise in those early months. So I still had the carrier waistband around my waist. As I got bigger, and again, you can either, for that waistband, you can either move the waistband below your belly bump or above. And it's really dependent on your comfort level. It can also depend on your body shape, right? So some women have bigger and or longer torsos versus others. So for me personally, what I chose to do in the early months was keep it where it was. When I started to get that belly bump developing, I would go below. I would wear the carrier waistband below my bump. And then as I got bigger, depending on the length of time I was going to wear my toddler, my older baby, I may move it around. So it may be above the bump or it may be below. But you can absolutely still baby wear, and you need to listen to your body. Your body's going to tell you when you need to take a break. And that's also a really good time to transition that older baby. So if you've got a baby that's used to being worn a lot, especially like mine, my younger children, because they were the third and the fourth, like they almost lived in the carrier. So when I was pregnant, that was a great time to kind of transition, like mommy's not going to carry you all the time, you know? So it was a slow, steady progression of, there's going to be a new baby soon that's going to be in this thing. You're going to start walking. And it was good. It helps them to understand and take it slow, to be more independent. And the other thing that I love to share with parents about baby wearing is that, your baby's, just because you baby wear, it doesn't mean your baby's not going to hit their milestones. It doesn't mean that your baby's not going to be independent. In fact, actually, some studies show the opposite, that when baby feels very secure and they're very comforted and their needs are met by their mother, they are more independent. So I do want to just kind of point that out as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because yeah, I think there can be this idea of, am I, coddling my child too much? Am I teaching them to rely on me for everything? Well, infants kind of do rely on you for everything. So I don't know if you can do anything to teach them that, because it's sort of natural. And then toddlerhood, of course, they still need you a great deal, right? Humans, unlike other species, are born so dependent on their caregivers. So that's important to remember. And I love what you said about just, teaching that independence as, your pregnant body was changing and that became an opportunity for you where, no, really, I cannot, continue to wear you or hold you in this way, right? Which made me think of something in terms of, the mom and her posture, because I've heard from moms a lot of the time, they'll say something like, well, when I baby wear, it hurts my back. And I think there's probably a few different reasons why that might happen, but you're absolutely more knowledgeable on this than me. So maybe you could talk about that, because, is it an issue of like, maybe they're not wearing the carrier in the correct position? Maybe it's not the best carrier for them. Is it their posture, which obviously changes so dramatically with pregnancy and postpartum? I don't know. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
That's a great question. I'm so glad you brought it up. So when you're pregnant, actually, especially as your baby is developing, your belly is getting larger, you're going to have a better weight distribution if you're wearing your older baby or toddler on your back. And then you're also going to want a carrier that offers padding. So depending on how you choose to baby wear, obviously like ring slings, woven wraps, while they can be great and they can still disperse the weight evenly, they're not padded. So depending on your comfort, you may want to then invest when you're pregnant in a baby carrier that has padding. And absolutely wear the baby on your back for that distribution of weight. The other thing you mentioned, we talked about it earlier, is when you're pregnant and your body's producing relaxin and everything is starting to loosen up, this can put more pressure on your hips, especially when you're baby wearing. So kind of reiterating that how the importance of listening to your body, and when your body is saying, okay, you know, maybe now we can only baby wear for 20 or 30 minutes versus before we might have done it all day. You know, that's important to listen to your body and take a break.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great point too, right? We try to sometimes fit ourselves in these molds, but it's like, well, discomfort is usually a signal that something should change. Yeah, that's worth listening to. And what you said too about wearing for shorter periods of time, I don't know if this is correct. I've given this advice to clients many times over the years, but they'll say, oh, my baby hates the carrier. And I'll say, well, you know, it might be good for you to just start in small increments at a time, like just wear them for 5 minutes and see if being stationary or walking, you know, either one improves, you know, their experience of it. And work your way up. Like, you don't have to wear them for an hour. You don't have to commit to a Disneyland trip with a baby in the carrier. Like, how do you tell parents who, you know, maybe they didn't start baby wearing from the beginning, or they do have a baby that just expresses that they're unhappy in that carrier? How do you kind of onboard them to that experience?
That is a great question. And you are giving great advice, because I would definitely not suggest, I wouldn't tell mom to go and, you know, just go for it and they'll get used to it. Don't say that. You don't want a baby that's going to like hate it and then we're pushing it and they haven't, you know, create an aversion to it. Start with short increments. Also, when you're pregnant, think about that. Like, when you're pregnant, you're constantly moving. So if you've got a baby that does not seem to enjoy being worn, I would actually tell the mom to put the baby in the carrier and go for a walk. It doesn't have to be a long walk, but move, and don't just sit there and sway, because we may think, oh, let me comfort the baby, let me pat their butt, let me sit here and sway. You actually need that to recreate more of that sensation of what they had when they were in utero. So literally going for a walk and the movement that produces and will help relax the baby and get the baby more comfortable baby wearing than to stand still. And you would build up in time increments, right? So you would start with this short walk, and maybe this is only 10 minutes. And then you would try again, and always make sure that when you are acclimating the baby to being worn, you're doing it when they are in that quiet alert state. So, you know, they're not fussy. They're not like, it's not time to eat. They're not like, you know, upset or hungry. Like, they're in a quiet alert, ready to be worn. So I would say start with them like that. Build up in increments and make sure you're moving.
Wow. Yeah. Even just the baby's state is so important, like you said. And that's a really great consideration. Yeah, walking is definitely different than swaying. So that's a really good distinction to make too. I know you mentioned just, you know, that padding can be really helpful on a carrier. The hood can be helpful. What are some other sort of features or design elements of baby carriers that you see work well for a lot of moms and babies? Like, I think wraps, unless somebody is really, really into baby wearing and that's their thing, those can be very cumbersome for a lot of moms in terms of just even what size do I buy and, you know, all of the things, right? And they're very cool. I love them. But it was not for me, I'll admit. I was more of a how quickly can I get this on kind of thing. So what are some of the things that you have just seen are really helpful for moms with carriers or dads too, because it's not like, you know, moms just have to wear them.
Yeah. I like carriers that are easily adjusted, because you brought up a great point just then about if mom's going to wear it versus dad's body. Mom's body and dad's body are completely different. So it's nice when, okay, if we're transferring the baby, it's dad's turn now. Mom maybe needs a break or wants to take a nap, and it's dad's turn to baby wear, that they can easily get the carrier sized for their bodies. Personally, you know, I found as a mom of many kids, four is not that many, but of four kids, that I liked having a carrier with pockets, because I was always, you know, sometimes I was tandem carrying. So carrying a baby, the new baby in the front, the toddler in the back, like, where am I going to hold a diaper bag? You know, like, I'd rather just have a carrier that I could shove some to-go wipes, a diaper or two, like just the necessities, and run to the grocery store or wherever we were going to be. So pockets were huge for me. Also, again, a carrier that I could very quickly and very easily adjust from whether I have my newborn baby in it versus my toddler. So, you know, something like the Neptune baby carrier, all you have to do is pull the toggle and it just tightens that waistband. So it's easy to go from one child to the next was important. Having the versatility of being able to do a lot of things. So I wanted a carrier where it would grow with my baby. It was easy to adjust, easy to get on and off quickly, and I could do a lot of different things with it. So, you know, whether I was going out for a hike or getting in the pool or even stepping in the shower, you know, maybe baby has some congestion that I wanted to clear up and I'm going to stand in the shower for 20 minutes or whatever. Just having a carrier that was really versatile was important. Something too that I didn't like about my wraps, and not, this is going to be different for some moms and it may not bother them, but I didn't like being out of the house and, having long straps that would dangle down and like hit the ground. Especially if I'm like going into like maybe a dirty public bathroom, you know, there are different things that you can do to like wrap the straps around you or like tuck them in. But it was just one thing I didn't want to have to worry about. Right. I didn't want long, cumbersome straps. So I, you know, in any case, that those were the things that I was looking for in a carrier. And those are the design elements that I put into the Neptune baby carrier, you know, that have really been helpful for me as a mom.
Yeah, I love that. And you've mentioned a couple of times, like how you had, I think, something like mesh and going in a pool. And then like you were talking about just going in the shower. I don't think a lot of parents realize that that is an option with carriers. So you have your carrier that you have designed called the Neptune carrier, and that can go in the water, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. It's waterproof. So talking about, there are different water carriers on the market. So kind of giving moms the rundown of your options, right? So you have the mesh wraps. Those are just like any other wrap in the way that you wrap, put it on your baby and put your baby in it. Typically, with this particular wrap, it goes up to about 35 pounds. So if you've got a bigger baby or you're carrying longer, that may not be the option for you. Also, personally, I found that wasn't the right option for me because of the length of time it took to get in and out of it. And as we moved about, the wrap needs to be readjusted, which I also found cumbersome. And, you know, I didn't want to have to stop what I was doing, assisting other kids or just, you know, whatever I was doing for myself to rewrap. The other option that you have are what is called Maitais. And I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong.
But I think it's Maitai, right?
Yeah, so that's like sometimes the Western way of saying it.
Oh.
Yeah. They're Asian in design, and I believe they're pronounced Maitais. But I could also be messing it up. In any case, it is like a square panel with four straps that come out. So two at the top and then at the waistband. So the waistband can even either be straight or curved. So they have those that are like water carriers, but they're made out of swimsuit material. And the problem I found with those is that if you put a baby into the swimsuit material, it stretches.
Yep.
And the baby will sink down even more so when it gets wet. So then you're constantly retying it. Also, I found that a bit frustrating, which is, again, why I gravitated towards a soft structured carrier. And it took me years to figure out the right type of material to use, because I would put the buckle, I designed it with the buckles, and then maybe just using the swimsuit material as the back panel. But then still, I had the problem the baby would sink into it. So I ended up using neoprene, which is the same material that wetsuits are made out of. And I actually used in my carrier specialty neoprene. It's not the stuff that you would get, you know, at your local fabric store, because neoprene comes in different thicknesses. It also comes in different tensile strengths, and that also affects the stretch. So that's really important. Like, you don't want to get in the water and have the baby sink. It's not safe and it's not comfortable.
Yeah. So, and I can personally attest that I had one of those, you know, water carriers, and living in a warm climate, we like live in our swimming pools during the summer, and they absolutely stretch to the point that I felt like it was unsafe, like more than 5 or 10 minutes in there. And it just was like, it would be so much easier for me to hold the baby in my arms than to try to wear them. So I sure wish I had what you're talking about when I had my littles, because yeah, it's not a good feeling when water is already creating some slipperiness and then you've got this just unsupportive fabric.
I'd also like to bring up a point that we see a lot, because there are carriers that are water carriers where the option is given for forward facing out. I personally find that to be unsafe. If you cannot see your baby's face when you're in a body of water, and when you're in a pool, splashing is happening, you know? If you're at a beach, like waves are coming up at you. Like you need to be able to see your child's face to make sure that they are not swallowing and ingesting water, which could be unsafe. So, you know, I definitely encourage parents that if you are water wearing, to keep the baby facing you. And that is another thing that, like, you know, my carrier now, the Neptune carrier, it's not designed for forward facing out. And that's why. I just feel like, you know, safety matters. So.
Right. Oh, that's an excellent point. You know, not in a water environment, how do you feel about forward facing?
So not in a water environment. I think you need to make sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's, right? So forward facing out is not for babies under 4 months. They can get overstimulated very quickly. Also, I think that the time limit in which you do it, so if they're over 4 months, the time limit in which you do it is important to note. So you need to make sure that they're, you know, if you're doing it once they've hit their limit, which could be different for different babies, but you are paying attention to that. So when they start to show signs that they're overstimulated, you turn them back around. Also, if they're falling asleep, you don't keep them forward facing out. You know, they could put their chin to their chest, and then that's blocking their airway and they're not breathing well. So you definitely need to turn them back around. And the other thing that's really important when you're deciding on any baby carrier is that your child's hips are in the correct position. So you want to make sure that they're in kind of what we talk about in the baby wearing world in an M-shaped, right? So their knees are horizontal or slightly above their hips, if that makes sense. You don't want their legs just hanging straight down. So if that is the case, their legs are hanging straight down for too long, then the risks are they could potentially develop hip dysplasia. So that we want to avoid.
Yes. Oh, such a good point. Yeah. And for anybody, like if you've ever sat on like a really tall stool and your feet don't touch the ground and there's no bar for you to rest your feet on, like think about doing that for a long time. It's not comfortable. So even that, right? We want your baby to be comfortable in the carrier. So I think that's very important. You know, it sounds like because if you're using this neoprene like material for your Neptune carrier, that it probably isn't an issue. But I know in some other carriers, it can be where moms just feel like they get too hot, right? Like they get sweaty, the baby gets sweaty. They worry about the baby getting hot in the carrier. You know, we don't obviously want babies overheating. So I'd love for you to chat about that because, you know, we're kind of talking about safety, right? And I think heat is very important to be aware of.
Yeah, great question. That is something that as I was developing this carrier, 100%, I noticed. So neoprene, especially waterproof neoprene, is not, it's not breathable. So in the summertime, what I ended up doing to make this carrier more comfortable was I actually lined it with Cool Max mesh wicking material. So it kind of creates some airflow and keeps the baby a little bit cooler. With that said, in the summertime, I think it is 100% important to pay attention again to your baby because and this doesn't matter what kind of carrier you are using, but if you're going to be outside in the hottest part of the day, which for most areas is kind of around like 10 to 3, if I'm getting that right, that you're limiting the amount of sun exposure that, you know, baby is in because they can get overheated, whether they're in a carrier, in a car seat, what have you. So, you know, paying attention to the amount of time that you're out during the hottest part of the day, paying attention to baby's cues. So how is their skin? Like, is it getting clammy? You know, making sure they are well hydrated is really important. So nursing more frequently, or if you don't nurse, if you're bottle feeding, giving them, you know, just more frequent, smaller amounts is going to be okay if you're outside. And just when you notice that, hey, they're getting a little bit too hot, go inside, take a break, seek shade. Those are all important, whether you're choosing to baby wear or not.
Oh, such great tips. Yes. And it's not like the stroller is any better, folks. And one of the things that I see happening, especially where I live and it's sunny all the time, is where people will drape blankets or car seat covers and that kind of thing. If you haven't gotten the memo yet, that's not recommended. Your baby actually heats up more when you put a piece of fabric and block that airflow and ventilation for them, even if it's a thin muslin blanket. So, you know, if it's a car seat or a stroller, there's always some sort of little cover, right? That's usually built in that, or you can attach that can provide shade, but you do not want to be closing off that whole space because your baby can very easily overheat in there. So baby wearing stroller, whatever it is, car seat, right? We always want to make sure your baby's at a good, healthy temperature.
Yeah. One thing I actually want to add to this is about neoprene is so when you get it wet, so let's say you are wearing baby in the hottest part of the day, but you're getting into a pool or a body of water or a splash pad. When you get it wet, it actually helps keep them cooler for a little bit longer. So that can be helpful. So if the water's cold, you're getting the baby the wet, like it's acting to help keep baby at a more comfortable temperature.
Ooh, that is awesome. I love that. And then probably keeping you who's wearing the baby.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love it. So this is so informative and oh my goodness, I just feel like there's so many tips and tidbits that you've mentioned that are just very helpful. And maybe the little bits and pieces that get overlooked in the larger conversation that people will have about baby wearing. And I think what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, there's things that are important, like, you know, your comfort, the baby's comfort, right, functionality, all of that. Like, how easy is this to fit into your lifestyle? Is there anything else that you would say is, like, you know, an important factor in, you know, decision making for either, you know, if you're going to get into baby wearing or what type of carrier you'd get or how you're going to do it?
Yeah. I would pay attention to things that you may not think about, like, is the carrier machine washable? Some of the carriers now that, you know, you find on the market, they're now advertising to only spot treat it. And I know, as like a mom, I'm like, if I can't throw this thing into a wash, like, if I've got to put extra effort into it, like, the chances of me using it or wearing it, like, I'm gonna be honest, like, for example, I don't iron anything. If I cannot just throw it into the washer and dryer and pull it out and put it on, it's not for me. So if you're a mom that needs to be able to wash something, that's you need to look at that, you know, so that's just another consideration. Can I wash this in the machine?
Yeah, that's huge, huge, right? Like, oh my goodness, I'm the same way. If it can't go in a machine, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Yeah. I did have like a very beautiful linen ring sling. And the thing that was hardest about that was, one, the rings are metal. So I did not want that clanging around the inside of my machine. Two, then even if I took it out and laid it flat right away, it would get very stiff if I let it air dry. Again, didn't want to put it in the dryer or whatever, because then it's going to get super wrinkly. It might shrink. And the rings are clanging around. So I would have to iron it. And like, just no one has time for that. And your baby's diaper is going to leak. They're going to spit up. You're going to drop food on it. Like, something, I guarantee you, it's just going to get grubby after a little while. Like,
yeah.
Who is making these non-washable baby carriers? And do they even know what it's like to be a mom?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, oh my goodness, you're just like such a wealth of information. And what I love is that you have come from this place of, you have these children, you've been super passionate about baby wearing, about breastfeeding, about just, you know, parenting and all the things, right? And you've created this product which solves a lot of problems. Like, I know people a lot of times will say, you know, oh, there's so many carriers, or, you know, so every soft structure carrier is the same. No, it's not. Where was my waterproof one when I had kids? Like, this is the coolest thing of all time, to be honest with you. Like, the versatility, that alone is like mind blowing. So yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you want to say. You've said so much about your Neptune carrier. So it go, you know, you can go from the newborn stage all the way through toddlerhood. That's huge, because I know I was like a big, you know, I want the convertible car seat. We're one and done, right? So this is kind of like that version of that somewhat.
Yep, exactly. That was the whole goal. One and done, right? It's an all-purpose, versatile carrier, you know, all-purpose all season. And you don't, like, if you are that minimalist mom that you don't want to, you know, spend your money on 5 different carriers, you don't need to. Like, this is an option where it grows with your baby. You can use it anywhere. It has all the features, bells and whistles that I hope you would want. And, you know, really, it's just the place that I come from and working with moms or designing products is that I know what it's like, and I want to help moms feel empowered and that they've got tools that they can use that work for them, so that, you know, parenting is just more focused on enjoying it, you know, enjoying your kids and enjoying your life.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. And, you know, what an amazing just goal to want for people. And, you know, through the work that you do as a lactation consultant, as a doula, as the creator of Amphiba Baby, you're just putting that out into the world. So we'll link up your website and everything, but where do you hang out online? Where can people find you and connect with you?
I am mostly on Instagram at AmphibiaBaby. I do have a Facebook page, but I am a one-woman show. So I'm more active on Instagram. People can also message me through the website, but I am always there. I will answer any question very quickly and just happy to chat with people.
Aw, I love that. And yeah, I also love that you're, this awesome small business, and I love supporting mom-run businesses because, well, heck, I have one, and it's so important. So many people I'm sure you've worked with too, maybe those of you listening, right? You've rethought some things about your career since having children. Maybe you've left the workforce. Maybe you've got a side hustle that you're hoping to grow. All of that. Like, when we support one another, I think it's just one of the most important things that we can do. So go check out AmphibiaBaby, follow her on Instagram. Don't overwhelm her. No, just kidding. But truly, Megan, It's so awesome to have this conversation with you. And thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge. I think it's been just wonderful to learn from you and get to see how truly knowledgeable you are about all of these things with, feeding in a carrier and whatnot. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. It's been great.
Did you know most moms stop breastfeeding in the first month postpartum? I believe succeeding at breastfeeding means having the right mindset. In fact, studies show that the number one factor that determines breastfeeding success is commitment, which is why I've created my incredible audio download of breastfeeding affirmations, where I give you actionable mantras so you can breastfeed your baby with confidence and peace of mind. And best of all, it's free. To get access to this audio and PDF, simply visit holisticlactation.com/mantras, and you can get started right now.